sunshine on my back. I got hands that wanna clap. I got all wheels on the track. What a day. I got coffee in a cup. I got arrows pointing up. I got 3 7s kind of luck. What a day. Rolling with my friends. Nights that never end. Do it all again. What a day. Records getting played. Dude, I just got paid. She just looked my way.
Welcome to the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. If you've got questions, comments, concerns, give us a call, 204-269-8636. That is 204-269-UMFM.
Might be the only warm bodies that are in this studio for the next week.
We waited outside for, 15 minutes to wait for security. And
looks like a couple popsicles coming in here.
Freezing cold out there today.
You know what? We were standing outside there before the show started there. Feels like the first true Winnipeg winter day today.
Yeah, I spent about an hour and a half to 2 hours shoveling snow. Pretty much just blowed right back in.
Yeah, I was going to do my front sidewalk, get everything going. Got it half shoveled, looked back, and it was all caved in again.
Well, it's funny. It feels like, on days like yesterday, it's like you can handle winter. It's cold outside, but it's not windy.
No.
As soon as the wind comes through, it's like, why am
I
here?
The wind makes a huge difference.
Why am I here?
Exactly. This is the wrong place to settle with the wind blowing so free. However, going to fade out Warhol.
Yeah.
Fantastic band. What a day. His song there from King of the World from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We were talking about this as well before the show.
Home of the Little League World Series.
Yeah, that's right. Williamsport, the only thing they're known for.
We figure people at Williamsport are probably tired of hearing about, the place where the 12-year-olds play baseball all the time. Yeah.
So Warhol making the debut there. If you're looking for that song, it's out there somewhere in terms of finding it. But nice to have Warhol along with us. As we get ready, we get into this whole hockey thing. How are you doing, Beans? How was the, before we get started with the hockey, how was the holidays for you? Did you have a good good break there from?
It's never really a break.
No, I agree.
It's intense.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
A lot of family stuff pretty much on the road. I think from yesterday till today, so 2 days, we don't have anything. And today I was in the city twice. So, not having anything and being in the city twice, that's a good day. That's a relaxing day.
Yeah, that's all right.
How about you? What's going on in your life?
Quiet. It was fantastic. Yeah. I had a family and everything, got 100,000 dinners and everything, whatever. Yeah. So parents and the rest of the fam, the brother and girlfriend, we all got together for brunch on Christmas Day. It was fantastic.
Nice.
Eggs, the bacon, the French toast, lots of stuff to sample, lots of dips, lots of crackers, lots of cheeses. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
So you get to pick away all day, got to have some fun with that or whatever, and, did a little gift exchange, and away we go after that. Yeah. And, you get to go home and settle down, and I'm not going to lie, I went home and had a good nap. had a full tummy, and
I don't get naps anymore.
I know, you're a little
but
off.
But that's the thing, as an adult, you as a kid, you look forward to the presents and Santa, big schmozzle, right? And now as an adult, you look forward to the food. You get the food.
That's exactly it. Like, we did a big bake exchange that morning as well.
Yeah,
so good. Crazy. There's so many good things in that. Yeah. So nice. I'll be eating like a king now for like the next couple of weeks.
That's
but
good.
Yeah. So it turned out really, really well in terms of everything that went on. So, and then I got myself settled in because Boxing Day is a big day. Obviously, two monster tournaments if you're a Canadian hockey fan that kick off that day. Spengler Cup in Davos, Switzerland, followed by the World Juniors in Vancouver and Victoria this year.
Yeah.
Let's start with the obvious, the game that was played first, the Spengler Cup game. Canada comes out, beats the home side, the Davos squad, 2-1. Did you watch that game? Did you get a chance to watch it?
I missed both Canada goals, but I watched the whole game. So
somehow.
You look over and it's like, what are you doing on the floor rolling around and doing stuff? And then you look at, Canada scored. So I saw the goals, but not as it happened.
guy doing the tournament, Dustin Nielsen, he does all of the Golden Bears games out in Edmonton.
Okay.
Fantastic guy in terms of the work that he does out there with the University of Alberta. So congratulations to him for getting the invite by TSN to go over.
Yep.
Him and Doug Hannesberger, whatever his name is, over there doing it. He's been over there doing it forever.
No more Paul Romanek.
Paul Romanek's off the roster. Yep. We've brought in Dustin Nielsen, the young kid, to come in.
Yeah.
The biggest complaint I had about the entire watching, I watched both games yesterday on Boxing Day. I watched the early morning game between Trinich and Magnitogorsk.
Yep.
Fantastic game there. Went to a shootout. Good effort. I don't know. And again, this isn't a complaint about Dustin Nielsen. He's doing the best he can. It's his first time. Doug Hannesberger, I mean, he's been there for a while. He should know a little bit better. In that first game, they play the full 60 minutes. It's a 1-1 game. They go to overtime, 1-1 game through the 5-minute overtime. They go to the shootout to determine the winner. The TSN cameras capture the starting goaltender for Trinich sitting on the bench, taking his mask off, glove off, blocker off, sitting on the bench, looking like he is absolutely exhausted.
Yeah.
They show the backup goalie getting into gear, got his helmet on, got his mask on, got his blocker and a glove on. He's doing a little bit of stretching along the boards, getting himself ready for the shootout. And neither of the commentators saw it.
They couldn't pick up on it.
Not only do they not see it, but as he's standing in the net and they're talking about how he's been so... Goaltending has been outstanding. This guy is the all-star of this team. He's been fantastic. Don't even notice that the number on his jersey is different. And then they go to the goalie cam behind him, and they're still talking about how great he played in the game. Don't notice that the name on the back of the jersey is different.
Number, the back of the jersey, the name, probably sheer size of the goalie, different helmet.
On the third, gets injured. And they're talking about how it's going to be a huge blow to this team for the rest of the tournament.
But the backup goalie.
Three shots, and we still haven't noticed that it's a different goalie. What is going on?
Well, it was similar to the Canada-Denmark game in the World Juniors when Ray Ferraro missed that offside. Like,
okay, but that happened yesterday in that game as well.
Yeah, okay, I didn't watch that early game. But
where? No, in the Canada game. Okay. Where it went across the line, where the puck went across the line.
Yeah.
Players stood there and waited at the blue line as another player came out and tagged up, and they went. And again, that was the first goal by Canada. That's where they went on, where Dupre made the pass across and went off Boychuk skating into the net.
Okay.
So they waited for a player to tag up before going on touching the puck then. Yeah. Completely onside.
Completely legal play.
And they went off on this for about 10 minutes. They reviewed the goal to make sure it wasn't kicked in.
Yeah.
The referee came out, pointed to center ice, called it a goal, and then the linesman went back and reviewed it to make sure it wasn't offside. And I'm like, how do you even call this offside? That's not even close to being offside.
Well, I was like the Ray Ferraro. He's like, exactly. I don't know why they're not challenging.
But, I mean, Ferraro at least went back, though,
and
said, you know what? Credit to Tippett, because he made a good play. And actually corrected himself. These guys were still talking about it a period later about how the first goal may have been offside, and I'm going, oh my god, for as much hockey as you two watch, do you not know what the offside rule is?
Sometimes I think people don't know what the offside rule is.
But this is a thing. You shouldn't be broadcasting it. Well, you can be broadcast if you don't know what offside is, but it's certainly a lot harder.
It helps if you know the rules of the game.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, it drove me nuts. Yeah. Anyway.
Great games, though.
2-1 for Magnitogorsk in the shootout, so they win the first game in terms of getting that in. And then Canada Davos, good game, fantastic game, good hard-hitting game. We saw Bieksa making an impression on Andreas Ambuhl, who I don't think we'll ever forget the name Bieksa now.
He shook his head a little bit there.
Yeah, knocked him a little bit senseless on that one. But good clean hit. Yeah. Nobody got hurt.
Not used to it in the Swiss League at all, those big body, big hits. So.
But, I mean, credit to Bieksa. Bieksa threw a clean hit and certainly didn't make it anymore. He went to the bench, had a good laugh, had a good smile about it, and everybody played after that. 2-1.
Where is Kevin Bieksa playing right now?
Nowhere. He's free agent right now.
For that.
So he, in order for him to sort of showcase, and this is, again, what some of the players have done. I mean, guys like James Wisniewski have done this.
Yep.
Guys like Curtis Joseph did this, where they went to the Spengler after not getting a contract in the summer, went to the Spengler, showcased that they could still play. Team came calling and said, we need you. We can use you.
Yeah.
So maybe a chance for Kevin Bieksa to find a way back in the league. 37 this year.
Yeah.
He looks
a little slow. Like, he's a little slower compared to some of those guys.
A little slower, but at the same time, still looks like he's got a good awareness, good awareness on the big ice anyway, in terms of what he's doing out there. So good for him.
Yeah.
And then Zach Fucali, who might have been, He always seems to show up for these tournaments.
Yeah, outstanding.
I don't know what it is about the Spengler Cup, but Spengler Cup and Zach Fucali go together like coffee and cream.
When you watch Zach Fucali play in the Spengler Cup, you're amazed how that guy doesn't have an NHL job. Even if it's a backup job.
I'm surprised he doesn't have an AHL job because he plays for the Fort Wayne Comets in the ECHL.
Yeah. I mean, he's owned by the Vegas.
His rights are owned by Vegas.
Yeah.
Used to be Montreal when he played for Brampton, and then he went to Vegas.
Yeah, like with the amount of goalie injuries the Vegas Golden Knights have had, are you surprised that you haven't seen a guy like Zach Fucali?
But that's the thing. I have no idea how to even explain that. But
yeah. But maybe he shows up in the big games, but he sucks all year kind of thing. I don't know.
So, let's be honest, and I said this at work the other day, guys laughed me out of the office almost. I care not for the World Juniors up until about December 31st.
Yeah, it's
like Canada,
the first couple games.
Canada always has a fluff schedule for the first two or three games. Yeah. Like, they might run into a tougher team like the Czech Republic, say, in that 29th game or that 30th game or whatever the night may be.
Yeah.
But it's always fluff teams to start with.
Yeah, they always get the Denmarks. And
the Belaruses, the Kazakhs, whoever's going to be in their division.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? I really prefer the Spengler Cup for the last week of December. I barely even watch the games, the World Junior games, because it doesn't matter to me.
I watched a movie last night. I watched the first period of the Juniors, then I watched Bird Box on Netflix.
Oh, how was that?
Great movie.
Yeah, good movie?
Yeah.
All right,
different,
well done.
But great movie.
I'm going to be honest with you right now, though. After watching that Canada game last night, well, not watching at all, I turned back and forth. I never, not that I ever wanted to hear it in the first place, but I never want to hear that Pitbull song again. I don't ever want to hear the Rec Laws ever again. And
well,
I'm
first
almost.
First of all, Pitbull, that's been said so many times in the world about.
Well,
Pitbull.
I know. And I
never
and I'm almost sick of hearing Andy Williams, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Because TSN has overplayed those songs. Not the Pitbull one, that wasn't their fault, but it kind of is because they're broadcasting the games.
Kind of is.
I don't ever want to hear those. I don't even want to hear the bands and or singers' names anymore. Like, that's how much I'm done with it.
Well, they have
I'm
to tell you every
it.
Time their song comes on, it's the Rec Laws.
And what's with the Rec? What did the Rec Laws? Are they owned by Rogers and TSN or Bell and TSN?
They must just be.
They did the TSN for CFL football. They did the opening.
They're always on Jay and Dan. They've been on Jay and Dan
exactly.
for tons of times. I mean, obviously they're doing the World.
Like, you should just have them as like the new Jay and Dan. Let them host the evening Sports Center.
Yeah, just give them a full time job.
Right, done.
Yeah.
Anyway. So Spengler Cup will kicked off again on Boxing Day. There was more games today. If you missed those, none of them involved Canada.
Not yet.
Well, none of the ones today did. There will be some tomorrow. There will be a game tomorrow.
Doesn't Canada play this evening? 7 o'clock?
No, that's World Junior. They play.
Oh, you're talking about Spengler.
To Spengler, yeah. So Spengler today.
On the same page now.
The losing teams from yesterday, so that would be HC Ossolari Trinic from the Czech Extraliga and HC Davos from the Swiss League, had to play against the teams that didn't play, which would be Kalpa Kuopio.
Finnish.
Kuopio. Who's from the Finnish Elite League, and the Nuremberg Ice Tigers from the German Elite League. So Trinic played Kuopio today and lost 3-1. People might go, what? What happened there? Aren't they supposed to be good? If you don't know anything about this team, we'll talk about that in a second. But they lost, so that officially they will be third place and will play the second place team in the crossover. As it stands, Davos today defeated Nuremberg 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that Davos and Canada both have a win. Davos does have a loss. And Nuremberg has one loss, which means Nuremberg has to beat Canada tomorrow by at least two goals.
To get first. Could happen.
Could.
The Spengler's always tight. There's not very many blow-up games.
No, and that's the thing. There's not these teams get together. They play. I mean, most of these teams are playing together already, but the Canada team, they bring in a few extra guys. Davos brings in a few extra guys. No big deal. But so tomorrow, 9:10 a.m. Eastern, 8:10 a.m. Central Time, Kalpa Kuopio and Metallurg Magnitogorsk will battle for first place in their division, while Nuremberg and Canada will meet at 1:15 p.m. Central Time, 2:15 Eastern, to determine first and or third.
First and or third. So if Canada loses by two, they're in third.
If Canada loses, they would push Davos to third because they beat Davos.
Okay.
But if they so they lose by two, they push Davos to third. But if they lose by one, there's a whole bunch of tie-breaking
stuff.
That's
tough in a three-team pool.
Exactly.
Right? Like, it's tough.
So Canada basically has to win tomorrow to capture first. If they capture first, they get a bye on Saturday, and they'll play again on Sunday. If they lose, they will play, most likely will end up playing Trinich on Saturday as a second-place team.
Yeah.
All depends on what happens tomorrow, of course. So if you want, tune into those games. They'll be on TSN at some point, one of the 15 channels of TSN they have out there.
Yeah.
You might hear the Reklaas a couple hundred times, but one way or the other.
At least 100.
That'll be set up tomorrow for the Spengler Cup. I don't know if there's been anybody that stood out to me so far. I like the way the Zach Boychuk played in that first game.
Yeah.
I really was impressed with Matt D'Agostino.
Okay.
Other than that, Canada looks like they're pretty deep top to bottom. Like,
yeah,
there's good depth, there's good scoring, good playing.
Zach Vukali, I mean, like I said, he's probably was the biggest star on that team that
sure,
game.
Yeah.
Made some big saves. He kept his team ahead and in front most of the game, so.
Just trying to see if there's any information on here, but these are the worst. This is the like, does Hockey Canada even care about this tournament?
You know who also surprised me a little bit was even a guy like Daniel Winnick played quite well. I mean, he's not so much a speed game,
yeah,
which is a very much a European game, but he played his size game quite well and along the boards and he played quite well. I noticed Daniel Winnick out there quite a bit, and that's another guy that's probably fighting for a contract as well. So
you know who I thought had a very quiet game, a good game in that it was quiet, was Weirkosh, who the former Ottawa Senator.
Yeah.
Weirkosh, I thought, played a really good game alongside Bieksa. I thought that those two complemented each other quite nicely, and Weirkosh a little bit speedier than
yeah,
what Bieksa is, but allowed
defensive.
Allowed Bieksa to sort of patrol the blue line while he covered up for him. So I think if Canada can get another good solid effort. If Fucali's going to play tomorrow, great. If Jared Coro plays, okay, great. No big deal. He plays with the AHL San Diego Gulls.
Yeah.
One way or the other, though, I think they just need another good solid effort like they put forth against Davos. I think they'll be okay. Again, Nuremberg isn't the greatest team right now. 11th overall in the German Elite League. They're not a powerhouse by any means.
No. But, I mean, just like every team in that Spengler Cup, is there's a ton of speed.
Anybody can beat anybody, and that's exactly what they say, is that,
yeah,
you know, you don't, sometimes you're surprised by the teams that come out and win. So.
One thing the commentators talked a lot about, too, was how Nuremberg does play more of a North American-style hockey game, too.
Yes,
style.
That
so
is true, yeah.
That could also help them against a team like Canada.
So I'm going to throw out our trivia question, because we're going to give away some stuff. Got a bunch of stuff from the Hub. I got some hats and some...
Some food?
No food. There's hats, there's clothing, there's all sorts of stuff in there. I'll put together a prize pack for the first person who can call in and give us the correct answer. Which team has won the most Spengler Cup titles in history? Oldest tournament, oldest invitational tournament in the world, which hockey tournament in the world anyway, which team has won the most Spengler Cups? If you know, 204-269-8636. 204-269-UMFM.
How long is Spengler Cup? That's probably...
1923.
I was going to say close to 100 years,
yeah,
going on Spengler Cup.
It was founded after the First World War to sort of bring everybody together. And then since then, Oxford University actually won the first ever. But there's been... kind of a trick question, because there's been two teams. There's two teams tied with the most titles right
so
now.
So if you pick one of them...
Well, if you can give us both, it's even better. But if you can get one, that's super good as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, 204-269-8636. You want to get on that. From there, we'll move to the other big tournament that's happening. World Junior is going on right now, as we may know. Canada came out yesterday and absolutely dismantled the perennial powerhouse Danish team, as we saw Denmark. I feel bad for Denmark. 14-0. Like, come on. Come on, Canada. Like, let's go. 14-0. You gotta give me something better than that.
Well, the problem with the World Juniors is, right, is that it's always a goals for, goals against thing, right, also?
No, and I get that. Like, I understand that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Is that they're always trying to do the setup on that in terms of... You know, most goals win. But you look at Czech Republic went to OT yesterday, beat Switzerland, which we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
United States beat Slovakia 2-1, and Sweden went on to beat Finland 2-1. And the only team that kind of threw the whole big monkey wrench in, I think, was Canada's 14-0 victory.
Yeah.
Now, in saying that, I didn't even see what happened at... or I was watching the game earlier today, and I didn't catch the end of it. I'm going to see if I can find the score right now. Denmark and Russia battled at 1 p.m. today. I'm trying to see who won there.
I'm pretty sure... Well, Russia was up 1-0.
Russia was up 1-0, yeah. Just trying to get... Russia won 4-0.
Okay.
Slovakia and Sweden playing right now, and it's 0-0 about midway through the first. Canada will play Switzerland at 7 p.m. tonight, and then Kazakhstan gets their first shot at it playing Finland tonight. So Kazakhstan and Finland will meet at 9 p.m. Again, Canada meets Switzerland at 7 p.m. Canada beating Switzerland 5-3 in the pre-tournament games. And we saw we're going to see Ian Scott for the first time tonight after Michael DiPietro was named the starting goaltender. Sweden and Slovakia currently 0-0, and again Russia beating Denmark 4-0. I would have expected more from Russia in that one. Although Russia did look a little disjointed being their first game in the first period. But 4-0 doesn't sound like a Russia score over Denmark.
Well, and the one thing that that Ray Ferraro did talk about, well, I don't know if it was Ray Ferraro, but who's doing with Ray Ferraro? Was that?
Gord Miller.
I think it was Gord Miller that mentioned was that Russia has had tough games against Denmark in the past. And they've had, struggles. So, I mean, Denmark's always been that regulation team. You know, they're always fighting for regulation. But sometimes they put up a good fight. But, yeah, I mean, first game for Russia, I mean, they... You know, come out there and try to get used to everybody and get used to everything. And I mean, Canada looked good. I mean, Denmark did not look good, but Canada looked like a well-oiled machine. So it'd be interesting to see them up against a tougher opponent. So
I'm not going to call Switzerland a tougher opponent. I mean, they're going to be tougher. They're going to be better than Denmark, I think. Yeah. But they're not going to be a tougher opponent.
The Swiss gave, you know, like you said, gave the Czechs a good. Good run for the money, and Czechs have been...
But the Czechs are a one-line team.
They are, that's true.
And they took a ton of penalties.
One-line team that has their two best players on different lines.
Even that's questionable.
Yeah, but I mean, they've, you know, some of the... I think Craig Button said that he's picked them to silver?
Bronze medal.
So,
yeah. I don't know. So. I didn't like the way they played. And I don't like the way they scored that overtime goal. I thought that goal at the end, when the Czech player came across the line and made the drop pass, I thought he picked the Swiss player.
The infamous pick play.
But again, nothing was called.
Yeah.
We still haven't seen a call for a late hit, and they talked about calling more of that.
There's been a couple of guys,
We've seen a lot of the face-off violations and a lot of warnings handed out. But again, nothing else is happening, though.
Yeah, I like that rule about the late hit. I mean, the guys don't... I mean, you're always taught to finish your check when you're growing up playing hockey, especially in Canada. Finish your check, but it's not needed.
But finishing your check and finishing your check are two different things. Like you can finish your check in that if the guy's got the puck along the boards
and he
goes to dump it in, you lean into him a little bit, you prevent him from sort of getting that head of steam, as opposed to a guy dumps it in, and he goes to turn to the bench and you just crush him. Yeah. Like that, there's a difference between finishing your check and finishing your check.
For sure. And I mean, I think we saw... A lot of guys in the first few games a little hesitant to hit even what guys would have the puck.
Right, yeah.
Scared the guy's going to get rid of the puck, and then you hit him and you get a penalty, right? So I think it's a good rule. I think it gets a little bit more of the skill and the speed in the game. You know, not as much, you know, like in Canada, you know, usually in the first, especially against a bigger team, say, like they'll play the Russians.
Right.
They'll want to go out and they want to make some big hits, right? But now you got to, you know, think about it a little bit. Do I want to run that guy and take
They were joking about it on the broadcast yesterday. They were saying, you know, about looking at some of those those 05, 06 when they were back in
the double Dions.
And they were crushing guys into the boards, and the puck hadn't been there for like a minute.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, Jordan Tutu was one of his things, right?
Yeah.
Big hits after the guy threw the puck away, so...
So, I mean, looking at this, Canada will play again tonight, and then they have tomorrow night off. They get the 29th. They'll be back in action against the Czech Republic, and then obviously the 31st, they play Russia to round out their preliminary round. The other teams that are to keep an eye on, Americans get today off. They'll be back in action on Friday against Kazakhstan, which should be a U.S. win, in theory.
Yep.
And then they play Sweden on the 29th, get the 30th off, and then play on the 31st, play Finland.
Yeah.
Tough finish for the U.S. I like Finland. I don't know if Finland's got the physicality to be able to, I mean, they got pushed around pretty easily by Sweden yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I mean, they've been talking ad nauseum on TSN about the preliminary round 45-0 Swedish team.
Yeah, not losing a game. Yeah.
I don't know if they lose a game in this tournament either, though. I mean, looking at, if they can get by the U.S. on Saturday, they have a pretty, they play Kazakhstan on the 31st. It's not like they're going to lose to Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
They've already beaten Finland. So really, I mean, if you're Sweden, are you worried at this point? No.
No, I mean, if you're Sweden, you're looking towards the medal round.
Don't get me wrong, you got to get past Slovakia today as well. Yeah. Slovakia is still standing in your way
always,
as well.
Always a tough competitor.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I mean, Sweden, if you're Sweden, I mean, you're thinking, I pretty much got rid of my toughest opponent, Finland. I mean, I think the Americans are going to be a good contest, but only beating Slovakia 2-1 the other day. It's a little bit of a worrisome thing there. But again, it's the first game of the tournament. It's always interesting.
But again, you had to come from behind. You were down 1-0 through 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Had to come from behind and win in that game. And
yeah.
I don't know.
So, I mean, but you're going to play against two teams and Finland and Sweden to round it out. You know, if you take two losses going into the playoff rounds,
that's a tough matchup. Yeah. When you consider that either likely Canada or Russia will be your first round matchup
yeah,
in the quarterfinal.
Yeah, the American, and I mean, I think Craig Button's also picked the Americans to come in second to win the silver.
It was Canada and U.S. in the final.
No, Canada losing the bronze medal.
And Russia in the final.
Yeah, yeah.
He picked Canada to lose to Russia in the New Year's Eve game, and then beat Russia in the gold medal game.
Yeah, that's been what Sweden's won. They've been to 12 gold medal final games or something like that.
And they've only won two.
Won two.
Yeah, like that's crazy.
It's amazing. They're like the Buffalo Bills of the, except Buffalo Bills never won any.
Well, no. So likely the game, if you're a Danish fan, and I only say this because Denmark has got a tough schedule as well. Saturday at 1 p.m. Pacific time, be 3 p.m. here in Central time, Denmark plays Switzerland with likely one of those two teams, obviously going to go in, probably, well, unless something seriously dramatic happens where the Czechs lose every other game they play. Denmark or Switzerland will likely be your relegation team from the Canada division versus what's probably going to be Kazakhstan. We already know Germany's moving up next year.
Yeah.
Likely going to be tough for Kazakhstan to stay up.
Yeah.
The question you're going to ask now, because Denmark's been there 5 years in a row.
Yeah, they're always somehow winning the important games.
But you look at this for next year, and again, Germany's got 11 players coming back to their team next year that are going to come and play in the World Juniors next year in the Czech Republic.
Yep.
Does Denmark get bumped next year? Because what do you do? Like, you're up against a very good German team now.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of good teams. Switzerland's still a good team. Take away the fact that they haven't had a very good result ever at the World Juniors for a while.
Well, I mean, even look at the Germans going to the Olympics and picking up the silver medal in the Olympics.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of those guys were young guys. I mean, not so much guys that would play obviously in the World Juniors.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that just proves that their system is starting to improve and starting to work. And, I mean, you're seeing a lot of good players. I mean, we've seen guys like Tobias Rieder and Leon Draisaitl come out of that German program, and I mean,
a guy that really came over and sort of pioneered the way for them, Marco Sturm, is sort of leading that whole resurgence.
He coached the silver medal team. Yeah, I mean, don't count out the Germans when they come back. I mean, they're going to be a tough team to play against. So.
Take another away from them, I think they may end up not playing in that relegation game next year. I think with 11 players coming back, a lot of them who were contributors to the fact they won the 1A division this year,
yeah,
a lot of those contributing players who made a very good impact there are the players that are coming back.
Yeah.
I think you could see the Germans maybe next year maybe surprise a couple of these teams that sort of float around the 7th, 8th spot, the Slovakias, the Switzerlands, the Denmarks, and go, sorry, boys, we're here to stay now.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere this time. So,
auf Wiedersehen, boys.
Yeah.
In saying that, World Juniors again set up for Czech Republic next year. Should be a good tournament over there. It looks like there's a couple of good cities, a couple of good towns that are going to be hosting it. But Big question. I'll put it to you, Beans. Well, we'll talk about this probably next week before the final is handed out. The final, as if you're looking for the information, will be played on Saturday, January 5th, 5 p.m. Pacific time. So it'll be later here, 7 p.m.
Yep.
We'll ask it again next week. But as of right now, who wins the gold medal? Who are your three medalists if you're going to be Craig Button here?
So tough. I mean, especially after only, you know, one game for, you know, some of the teams. You always, being a homer, you always got to go for Canada winning the gold. I
mean, all right. Yeah.
I just think talent-wise, I think they got a ton of talent, ton of speed. One thing that they haven't had in a long, long time was the amount of speed that they have this year. Ton of speed. The one question I have is goaltending. It's always kind of been there for Canada. Goaltending's always been like, you never know how it's going to be. I think goaltending could be an issue this year. We'll see how that goes. So I think it's going to be Canada-Sweden final. I mean,
okay,
it's kind of the way it's set up to be. I mean, they both should get number one seeds in their divisions and you know, fly through the medal round. So, and then I think it'll probably be, I'll say, a Finland-Russia bronze medal game.
U.S. getting dispatched out of the medal round.
Just after my first look at them in the first game, just not pleased with the way that everything went there. I mean, you'd think that they would be able to score a little bit more and not be behind most of that game against the Slovaks. So,
right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's going to be a Finland, Russia, and I'm going to say the Finns will take the
Finns take the bronze over the Russians, with the Finns,
Sweden and Sweden with the silver, and Canada with the gold.
With 8:15 remaining in the first, Sweden is up 1-0 over Slovakia.
Yeah.
So there's your quick update.
How about you? What do you think?
I'm going to say Canada. I like the fact that Canada, top to bottom, is probably the deepest team here. Gives them a lot of weapons, give them a lot of opportunities for finding goals. We saw, 15 players or something yesterday find points.
That first line is skilled. There's a,
you know what, that second line, that second line, I think, is just as good.
Yeah.
That Morgan Frost line,
yeah,
all sorts of talent on that. Suzuki and Frost alone make that a dangerous line.
For sure.
But, I mean, I look at even at the back end, and I just go, like, okay, you know Evan Bouchard is probably gonna score a few goals. Like, he's got a huge can.
He's got to shoot. He was trying to dangle a little bit, do a little bit of passing. And
Smith is okay in terms of – I think it's the other four guys, though, that'll make the difference here. Like, if those guys can show up and play – I'm not going to say bigger than what they can play. They're all top line players, but if those guys show up and they really make an impact, I don't think you have to worry about goaltending. I think DiPietro looked a little shaky in the pre tournament games. He went back, talked to a sports psychologist, talked to his dad every day. He phones his dad and they have a discussion about, you know, what's going on, and he's written himself a reminder on his blocker about, you know, breathing and
just calm
and staying calm and all that. Ian Scott has been absolutely lights out with the Prince Albert Raiders this year. I mean, he's like one
top,
of the
top rated team
exactly.
In the CHL.
And he's leading all goalies and scoring right now with a goal scored.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
So there's a chance he might see a World Junior goal out of Ian Scott who gets the opportunity. But in saying that, I think you're okay in looking at the goaltending if you get a big performance out of those six guys that play in front of them.
Yeah.
And those six guys last night really, really impressed me in that they kept everything to the outside.
Yeah.
Again, it'll be tougher against the Russians, tougher against other bigger teams.
Skilled.
But
if
those guys can continue to keep things outside rather than funneling into the middle, I don't think you have anything to worry about.
Very good.
Secondly, I think you're going to see a Sweden silver medal, unfortunately, again for the Swedes. And like you, I like the Finns, but I think they lose, and I think they lose in a heartbreaker to Russia. in the bronze medal game.
So we're similar.
Similar. Yeah, very similar.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. I'm going to take a quick break for the legal ID here, folks. We'll be done for about 30 seconds. Come back right away. We'll talk some NHL. A lot of news going around the NHL right now. There was a signing today in terms of finding a re-signing and whole bunch of other stuff. Guys getting activated. Jets and Calgary. We'll talk about it all in a couple seconds here, folks. Hang on tight here on 101.5 UMFM. It is the Hockey Show. We're here every Thursday, and we'll be back in 30 seconds.
We're the Vaders
from Halifax.
And you're listening
All right, we are back here on the Hockey Show, 101.5 UMFM. Teebs Beans over on over to my left. Let's start with the big news, I guess, in terms of the local news. As Lowry and Kopp come off the IR, they are back. Patan and Lemieux go back to the press box. Mason Appleton remains in the lineup, and our boy Matthew Perreault will stay on the third line with Tanev and Lowry, okay, where Kopp shifts to the fourth line along with Roslovic and Appleton.
So he'll play the center there.
Kopp will play the left wing. Yeah, with Roslovic in the middle. As the Jets prepare to take on the Pacific Division leading Calgary Flames, who, as we know, lit them up hard in their November game. Jets, after four, were down 5-1 at one point before the Flames finally extinguished any sort of comeback in a 6-4 victory. Jets got to start off better, obviously. Hellebuck's got to have a better game. But what do you expect from this game? Do you expect this to be an old Smythe Division kind of rough and tumble game, or is this going to be up and down, back and forth hockey, track meet style?
I hope it's going to be a little bit of rough and tumble game. I mean, top two teams in both divisions, right? They're, Jets are top in their division right
Jets
now.
Jets are first in the West,
And Flames are first Pacific. I mean, I think the Flames got a lot of skill up front, a lot of speed. If Jets can use their size to their advantage against the Calgary team, I think you got to get to their defense. You got to get to whoever's in that. It's probably going to be Mike Smith tonight.
No, it's Rittich. Rittich is starting tonight, yeah.
Got to get to Rittich. You got to get in there. Got to cause some traffic. He's a big guy, big tender. You got to get some traffic in front of him. Get up early. Jets have not started games very well. Not like last year where they were the team to score the first goal usually. This year they haven't been that team, not scoring a lot of first first ones to score the goal. So I mean, yeah, it's gonna be a good game. I think I don't think you see a lot of goals. I mean, Calgary's blown out some teams this year. There's been a couple high scoring games.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Jets see that, they know that, they gotta take that into consideration that Calgary has scored a ton of goals. Play a good solid defensive game. Hellebuck's gotta be on his game. It's the first game after Christmas. This is the game you gotta prove that you're the number one in the West, and prove to everybody that you're the one to beat. So,
well, I mean, I mean, as it stands right now, Jets have a bit of a gap between them and Nashville. Nashville does get back. It was announced today that Arvidsson and Subban are both coming back, while Yannick Weber will go on the IR now. So up one, down one in terms of what's going on there, but in saying that, I look at this and I go, all right, if the Jets can somehow meander their way through January, find themselves 6, 7, 8 wins in a, you know, in terms of the next 10 games, preferably 8 as opposed to 6, but
for sure,
6, 7, 8 wins, they're not out of the hunt by any means.
Yeah.
They're in a great position to sort of catapult through February and into March, get through the trade deadline, and then see where we stand.
Yeah.
Because once you hit the trade deadline, that's kind of the last checkpoint for the season, right?
Yeah.
If the Jets can somehow work their way in and have around, I'm going to say around 70, 75 points at the trade deadline, 80 points maybe in terms of the way that they're playing right now, I think you're okay. I think you can do a lot of damage in March, late March, early April. If you get to the 90-point range, you're now talking about contesting for President's Trophy, which would be a huge, huge push for that.
Yeah, I mean, to win this division this year, you're probably going to need to get that 110 points,
right? Yeah,
to win this division. So to get a good start in January, get a win, you know, get some wins to put yourself, keep yourself up top, maybe even put a little bit more of a gap between you and Nashville and Minnesota and Colorado, all those teams that are right behind you, is going to be a huge confidence boost for those guys. And yeah, like you said, the trade deadline, that's, you know, the next checkpoint, and to see, you know, do the Jets make a move or anything like that to bolster their lineup. I mean, they got such a solid lineup. You can't see where they can improve really much. Maybe some depth on defense, but other than that, I mean, I think they're pretty solid right now through the lineup.
Quick update. Slovakia has tied the game. It's 1-1.
Oh, wow.
1-1.
We might have to change our prediction.
No, I'm still okay with that for now.
Slovakia's been putting up a fight,
though. they're doing all right, yeah. I look at this and I go, if the Jets are going to make any changes, obviously they're going to improve their defense. I don't think you can really tinker too much with the top two lines other than maybe adding and I hate to say this, and it's and some people are gonna probably, you know, just crucify me for this, but if you can remove Brian Little from that second line once again and convince him to play third line or lower, this team changes the way it attacks the zone again.
Yeah.
Brian Little just doesn't have that anymore. And I know that his salary makes him almost impossible to move. I know he doesn't give you the same possession production that what a Matthew Perreault does. They have similar salaries in terms of the way that they're playing.
Yeah.
But you got to find a way. You've got to get Brian Little out from between Kyle Connor and Patrick Laine.
The one thing Brian Little does well between those two guys is keeps them in check and plays a good defensive game. But those two guys sometimes, well, with especially a guy like Patrick Laine.
Okay, but Stastny did that. And again, I'm not saying we have to go after Stastny by any means. But Stastny did that last year as well. He was defensively, he was extremely responsible.
Yep.
But he went to the net and was extremely good in front of the net, allowing those two guys to shoot the puck. Brian Little is MIA when it comes to going to the front of the net.
Yeah, I mean, he's had some goals when he's been in front of the net. I mean, if he goes in front of the net more, he's going to get more chances. But I agree. I mean, I think you need someone with a little bit more size, a little bit more speed to play on that line with those two guys to give them a little bit more.
I just think you need a little more power forward on that line, because you're gonna get the shots from Laine regardless.
Yeah.
Kyle Connor's got all sorts of moves, and he can deke and dipsy doodle and speed down the wing, get everything going. The thing that I really look at though is I look at it and I go, you got to get a guy that can drive the net on any one of those. Because if Laine's shooting, got to get a guy that's going to go to the net.
Yeah.
And if Connor is going to drive the net, you got to get somebody to either play the opposite wing or down the middle where he can chip a puck past, you know, a rebound past a goalie, or can take a pass and chip it past a goalie at that point.
Yeah.
One of those two things has to happen. Right now, Brian Little just doesn't do that. And yeah. I like, don't get me wrong, I like what Brian Little brings on the power play. He does some good things on the power play.
Yeah.
But he's not the right guy for that second line.
Yeah. So who, if there's someone available, who would a guy be to put on that second line?
Man, that's going to be a tough question.
Yeah. I mean, there's tons of guys, but I mean, availability is the big question. I mean,
well, I mean, you look down some of the teams right now, and you can sort of see, you know, NHL standings, who might be available.
Yeah.
There's nobody from LA that I want. Don't get me wrong. I know LA's got guys they want to get rid of, but I don't want anybody from LA. Same thing with the Coyotes.
Yeah.
The Canucks are interesting. They got a lot of good young guys, but nobody really that I would go after in terms of getting that going. Blackhawks, I can't see anybody. I wouldn't want anybody from the Blackhawks down the middle. The Blues are an interesting case.
Yeah, they sound like they're willing to sell.
And not only willing to sell, but willing to sell whatever it takes to get contracts moved.
Yeah. They got the one guy there that I would go after, and if you're looking to improve your defenseman, is Colton Parayko. That would be a big get, I think, because of size and he's a great power
player. I don't know if he'd be one of the guys that they'd move though right off the top. Like you'd have to go after a guy like, and again, I don't want him. I don't want to see him in Winnipeg. Yeah. I would go after a Jake Muzzin before I go after him.
Yeah.
But it would probably be a Jay Bouwmeester because of his contract. I think Parayko is pretty much safe there.
Yeah.
But if you're talking pure centerman, if you're talking about a guy who's willing to go to the net, who's not going to cost you, I'm not going to say an arm and a leg, but won't cost you a ton of money in terms of what he does. I don't know if they have anybody like that.
Go after Ryan O'Reilly.
Ryan O'Reilly is. I would look at a guy like Braden Schenn, okay, who would be a good fit there.
Yeah.
Or, and this is going to be, and people are going to hate me for this, but a guy like Tyler Bozak could be the guy that fits in so nicely in the middle because he will play 200 feet of the ice.
Yeah, and I just see Tyler Bozak being very similar to a Brian Little.
But if they bring him in and tell him you have to play, like you got to play the 200 feet.
Yeah.
Because we got a guy right now that doesn't. Yeah. If you want to play, if you want a spot on this team, and we're going to rent you, I mean, it's not really a rental because he's got a super long contract.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at a guy like Braden Schenn, Braden Schenn's not afraid to go to the net.
No, he's a nitty gritty type of guy.
27 years old, $2.75 million salary.
Yeah, it's affordable.
I don't see what the problem is.
Is he a centerman?
Braden play with the Wheat Kings?
He did. He's a Wheaty.
I don't see what the problem is here.
Yeah.
I mean, you may not like that idea. You may not approve of that idea in terms of what we're talking about, but
yeah.
Braden Schenn would be the one guy in the center that I would go after for sure. Looking at some of the other teams, Devils, nah. Flyers, nah. Hurricanes are interesting. I don't know if there's really any... any young guys that you could pry away from them, but Rangers are going to be an interesting case. I don't like Kevin Hayes. Everybody who suggests Kevin Hayes needs to stop.
There's one guy that used to be on the show suggests Kevin Hayes.
Listen, if Kevin Hayes could skate, Kevin Hayes would be a different player. Kevin Hayes cannot skate. He does not go north-south.
Yeah.
Senators, I would like to see, don't get me wrong, I would love to see Matt Duchene or Mark Stone here. Can't afford either of them.
No, I mean, if anybody, I would like to see Mark Stone. He's a Winnipegger.
Yeah.
You know, would be a great get here, but... I just, those guys are going to want too much money and get too
much.
Well,
you're never going to be able to keep them. That's the thing, no, right? So, I mean,
there'll be a rental for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And rental and gone at the end of the season. So, you're going to give up way too much to try and get them.
Yeah.
Red Wings, I would like to see, I would love to have a guy like a Dylan Larkin here, although I don't really like the way that Larkin plays.
No. A lot of speed, but speed to kill.
Right. Other than that, I don't really. There's not really a lot of other guys from that setup that I would go after. In the Panthers, got a couple of really good players that again would be great to go after if you had the cap room to re-sign them. But I don't know if they do. I don't know if the Jets are going to want to do that. But I don't know. There's not a lot of available centermen out there that are going to be easy to pry away. Again, we're not talking about Barkov. Barkov's never going to leave that team. We're not talking about, you know, any of those guys that are going to get pried away from any of the young guys anyway, pried away from Florida. But really, when you look at it, you go, well, who else is there? Maybe a guy like Jared McCann. But again, he's not the right. I don't think he's the right guy for that role.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you can go and get him, I would actually take. I mean, I know he's played well in the last couple of games, but I would take Jace Haraluk in terms of the way he's played. He's been outstanding for Florida the last couple of games. I'll take Jace Haraluk. I don't know if that's going to work. I don't know if he'll be willing to come here, but we'll have to see in terms of what goes on there. But again, looking at the rest of the teams, I don't see a lot of guys moving in terms of being available for pickup at that point. The Wild miss, maybe. No, you don't even want Stones. You don't want any of those guys either. I can't think of anybody else that I would really want in terms of who would be on the list there. Like the Wild have what? Who else? Eric Staal? No, no thanks. Mikko Koivu? No thanks. Who else plays center for them?
Yeah, there's not.
Joel Eriksson Ek just got sent down to the minors. Luke Kunin would be interesting. I don't want Matt Hendricks back. He can stay away. Eric Fair better never come back in terms of what's going on.
There's not a lot of guys that will improve this roster.
Charlie Coyle could be really the only guy you could probably get down the middle. I don't know if Charlie Coyle is going to be able to, you're going to be able to pry him away.
Well, I've heard there's a few guys. I mean, if you look at TSN's trade list of who they think is available, Charlie Coyle is on that list.
Sure. But again, I don't know if he's going to be available to a team like Winnipeg, who they're going to see five times next year.
Yeah. I mean, you just... That's always been the kind of like the faux pas of trading is trading within your division, right? That's always such a, because then you're gonna have to see that guy and see that team. So,
well, you never want to get hurt by him by a number of you know games you're gonna play against him either, right? Like that's the key. Is that what do you do at that point?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I look at this and I just go, there's a lot of tough questions that you need to ask, and a lot of guys you can look at and go, do we really need him? Is he really going to be any good in terms of how he's going to help?
Is he going to improve the team?
Right.
Yeah.
In terms of the way that he's got, the way that they're set up right now. And I don't know if there's anybody out there. Again, that Stastny trade last year was impressive.
Yeah.
The fact that they were able to do it,
but you're probably not going to find that this year.
Well, again, I look down the roster and I go, maybe a Jeff Carter. But again, Jeff, you don't want to. Are you going to really overpay for a Jeff Carter?
And are you going to take the chance that he just says, "Nah, I'm going to retire instead," and then you lose, and LA loses too in the deal. Like it's all, everybody loses. It's a lose-lose with Jeff Carter right now. So,
but I mean, that's the question. Then I mean, you're really looking at guys that either are unproven or guys that may not fit your entire setup.
Yeah,
because I mean, the next guys that are available on LA. Likely would be Tyler Toffoli, who plays right wing.
Yeah.
Maybe, again, I'll throw this out, maybe a guy like, I don't know, Kyle Clifford, maybe a guy like Trevor Lewis. But again, both couple guys are wingers.
Wingers, yeah.
I don't know if they, again, I don't want a Nate Thompson. You can keep Nate Thompson.
Your only centerman there is Anssi Kopitar, and there's no way Anssi Kopitar is gone.
And that's pretty much what you're looking at for any sort of hope in heck to get anybody out of there. So I don't know. I look at the rest of these the rosters that are out there, and I just go, there's nobody else. Like Nick Schmaltz in Arizona, no thanks.
No.
Derek Stepan, no thanks. Christian Dvorak would be interesting, but I think you lose something if you go after Christian Dvorak.
And as a second line on this Jets team, I just don't see a Christian Dvorak improving it.
And I don't see any. Brad Richardson isn't going to help. Nick Cousins isn't going to help. Like, there's nobody that I would really go after and go, yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy that'll change this team again.
So unless the Jets can pull off something that's a Paul Stastny-like trade of last year, we're probably not going to see many moves.
That would be your Cal O'Reilly. That would be your Ryan O'Reilly trade. Yeah, not Cal O'Reilly. Ryan O'Reilly trade at that point. So
yeah, if they trade for Cal O'Reilly, I don't know if that's.
I'm almost certain that's not going to help at all. Yeah. One big note out of the NHL, though. Jake Guentzel going nowhere as he was signed to a 5-year, $30 million deal by the Penguins today.
Yeah,
takes effect starting next season.
Well, that's a thing, right? You play beside Sidney Crosby, and look at the money that comes your way. So,
but I look at that now, and I go, I don't know if the salary cap's increasing to like $200 million next year. But it's I don't know how the Penguins are fitting all this money into their salary cap.
I mean, every year you're like they got to start getting rid of guys. They're going to start falling away from the top of the league.
Well,
I mean,
but
they struggled this year.
But it's going to become a Chicago situation where they'll have their two guys down the middle in Crosby, Malkin.
Yeah.
They'll have a star defenseman in Chris Letang, and they'll have a bunch of AHL
like
guys.
A goaltender that's hurt 90%
of
the time.
Oh, that's already
Corey,
Matt
Corey
Murray.
Crawford.
That's already Matt Murray.
Yeah, so there you go. I just think Pittsburgh, they seem to overpay. I mean, I'm not going to say Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang, you guys are getting overpaid. But, I mean, I think like Jake Guentzel, that's a little bit of an overpay for a guy like Jake Guentzel.
Is it, though? I mean, for a guy who's performed as well as he has in the playoffs, and it's certainly he's second-leading goal scorer right now on the Penguins. But I look at that and I go, all right, if you're going to give Jake Guentzel $6 million a season, what's Kyle Connor worth?
We talk about this every time.
Patrick Laine worth? So because you look at,
like
but you look at, but again,
game,
yeah. you look at this and you go, that's a comparable for maybe a guy like Kyle Connor who scored 30 goals last year. Like that would be a comparable contract for him.
Yeah.
But if that's comparable for Connor, what do you give Laine?
Yeah, well, Laine's got to get close to 10. Like he's got to get upwards near 10. I mean, that's just the way that contracts are. I mean, the only thing with Laine is that he doesn't. He scores goals. He plays offense. That's pretty much his. That's his best asset is that he's great from the blue line in.
Yes.
From the blue line out towards his not so good.
No.
Not so good.
I agree.
At all.
I agree with that.
So that's my only faux pas on his game and why the reason why he shouldn't get more than 7 or 8. Just because he doesn't have that fault, he's not an Austin Matthews who plays the full 200 feet game.
Okay, hold on. But the fact that you just compared Patrick Laine, a winger, to Austin Matthews, a centerman.
Well, I know. I know, but I'm just comparing
the two. So here's a question then.
Contracts.
Here's a question then. If you're going to compare guys in similar roles, in similar jobs in terms of similar positions they play, Laine versus Ovechkin. Okay. Ovechkin probably better in the defensive zone. I don't disagree with you.
More physical.
Laine versus Jake Guentzel. Because the only place Jake Guentzel scores from is like 10 feet out from the net.
Yeah, he cleans up Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin's junk.
Okay, so if you're going to make $6 million a season off that and you don't have a shot like Laine.
But I think Jake Guentzel plays more of a 200-foot game than a guy like Patrick Laine does.
Okay. I'm not going to deny that.
So you're more of a I'm not going to say he's more of a complete player than Patrick Laine, but he is more of a complete player than Patrick Laine where he plays in different situations. He can bring that defensive aspect to game.
Sure, yeah.
I still think that he deserves more than Jake Guentzel. That's why I said 7 or 8. I would lean more towards 8. But to give a guy of that caliber that much money, 10 or more, I just don't understand it.
Okay, William Nylander.
Well, that's what I mean, and that's what screwed everything up.
Hold on.
William Nylander.
You
want
to hear even more screwed up? How about Justin Abdelkader? He's making 4.25.
Yeah.
4.25 for Justin Abdelkader.
Who plays like it's like pretty much a third line center type of role for a guy like Justin Applicator.
Justin Applicator in 657 games has 105 goals, and he's making 4.25.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a career, again, not that I'm gonna pick on him for this, but he's a career minus 32 on a very bad Red Wings team. Last season, had a total of 13 goals, 22 assists.
Yeah. He's been hurt quite a bit, too.
Sure.
Yep.
In 82 games in 2015, he had 19 goals, 23 assists, had 23 goals, 21 assists when he signed the big contract.
Yeah.
He has never scored more after signing that contract than 42 points. He has never once scored more than 20 goals after signing that contract.
And that, I mean, that also says a lot to that team in general, is that Detroit has not been good in the last 4 years,
correct,
5 years.
But if you're going to give a guy 4.25 to do nothing, well, not nothing, but to do very little on the ice.
To be, he's playing second line minutes, being a third line type of player.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I compare him to, like, an Adam Lowry.
Five goals, six assists in 38 games.
And Adam Lowry's getting, what, 3 and a bit?
Something like that, yeah.
So, I mean, that's an overpay, right? 5 years ago, that's... how many years ago did he get his contract? 5 years ago? 4 years ago?
4 years ago.
4 years ago, I mean...
Two years ago. 2 years ago. 2016, 2017.
So it's an overpay, yeah.
I don't know.
But
I think
that's been the trend in contracts, is that people are starting to overpay because of these large contracts that we've seen that... Connor McDavid deserves it, okay, whatever, but... Because he gets that sets a standard, right? And then and then a guy like William Nylander
I don't know if Connor McDavid sets a standard, because
he's in his own level.
Yeah, he's got his own
but
setup.
Then you got a guy like William Nylander, and that's what we said, is that William Nylander contract set a standard, and now that standard is absurd. Is that it's way too high, and look at what William Nylander has done in the last
three or four weeks. So Kyle Dubas, who was more worried about him not playing for the Maple Leafs, throws a stupid number at him. He takes it.
Yeah.
Are the Maple Leafs to blame here more than William Nylander?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's...
So if Kyle Dubas is supposed to be this smart guy, and again, he's talked about keeping all these guys under the cap, don't worry about offer sheets, don't worry about anything else.
Yeah.
Why does Kyle Dubas get praise when he kind of blew up everybody else's salary
position? He kind of wrecked it for every other GM in the league, where they got to now deal with these guys saying, well, this is what William Nylander got, and this is what I should get. So, I mean, it's ridiculous now, the size of these contracts for guys that don't deserve them.
Okay, I got 2.5 minutes left. I'm going to shift gears, speaking about not deserving them. Hurricanes wearing the Whalers colors.
Oh, there's been so much backlash. There's been a lot of praise for it, but there's been so much backlash.
Don't get me wrong, the jerseys looked fantastic.
Looked great.
You do not wear them if you're not the Hartford Whalers, though.
You do not wear them. They are not part of your... The Jets would never wear an Atlanta Thrashers jersey.
See, again, I would be okay if the Jets went and played in Atlanta and wore the Atlanta jerseys.
For sure.
Same way as I'd be okay if the Carolina Hurricanes went to Hartford and played a neutral site game there and wore the Hartford Whalers jerseys. Yeah. I'm not going to go Jack Edwards and complain about the retired numbers.
Yeah,
that's a different concept altogether. But my issue is that... The Carolina Hurricanes should not be allowed to sell tickets, sell out their arena, and make a ton of money off this merchandise when they've not only rejected the idea, but they were taken from Hartford and moved to an area where people just don't really care. People care about hockey, but not as much as they did in Hartford.
The Hartford Whalers. Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see. Those jerseys are beautiful. They're well missed in this league.
I agree.
But it's just seeing them with that
red
everywhere is just wrong.
And to see Tom Dundon talk about how important the history is. Tom Dundon
doesn't care.
Yeah, he's never been about the history of the team. If he did, he wouldn't have traded Jeff Skinner.
If he cared so much about the history of the league,
he wouldn't have fired Ron Francis.
He would wear your damn white jerseys on the road. Against the Montreal Canadiens.
I'm not saying anything about that, but I just find the idea, and again, the Hurricanes are always top 10. When the NHL got the rights back to sell that, they were always top 10 in merchandise sales for the NHL.
Yep.
The fact that they allowed the Hurricanes to profit off that, to me, is an abomination, because I don't see any other team going out there, and I don't see, for example, I don't see the Colorado Avalanche donning the Quebec Nordiques jerseys and going, hey, this is us.
Yeah.
Look at us. We're good.
Yeah, exactly.
I have yet to see the Coyotes come out in Jets version 1.0 and go, look at us, guys. Yeah. Look at us. Look what we're doing.
Look at how much money we're making off of this.
It's all to me, it's all crap.
It's all a big money-making thing and nothing to do with the history of the game or the history of the team.
No, I mean, you wouldn't know the history of the team anyway because the guy just bought the team this year and never really paid attention to hockey before that.
He's worried too much about colors than he's about.
Whatever.
He's a weird dude.
Well, it's been a heck of a day.
Has been.
We're out of time. I'm going to get out of here. Nobody called in, so we'll offer that prize up again next week, I guess.
Yeah.
I want to get rid of it.
Everyone's on Christmas and on break. No one's listening.
No one pays attention to us. Get out of here with a little more Warhol as we call it a week here. Warm Bodies hopefully in the schedule or in the station next week as the schedule comes back to normal. Everybody back in school next week. So we will see you next week, everybody, here on 101.5 UMFM. It is the Hockey Show. For another week, are we going to get our special guest to come say bye?
You want to come say bye?
He's done. No Wyatt tonight. Yeah, that's all right.
He talked almost the whole time, and then he just... Yeah.
Beans, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yep.
Enjoy, everyone. Be safe. Be safe on the roads. Be safe. Don't drink and drive. And we'll see you in the new year.
See you in 2019, everybody. That is correct. It is the Hockey Show again. Last Thursday of 2018 for us, everybody. We'll see you in the new year. Come next week as the Hockey Show moves into 2019 here on 101.5 UMFM. More cash in the bank. I got more gas in the tank. I got green lights all the way. What a day. Charles Barkley skills. $100 bills. New rims on my wheels. What a sunset looking sweet, she just kissed my cheek. What a